You're listening to Weekend on the BBC World Service. My name is Paul Henley, and for the rest of the programme with me here in the studio are Ntombi Zodwa Nioni, who's a playwright and film scriptwriter here in the UK, and Julie Norman, who's Associate Professor of Politics and International Relations at University College London. It's specialist subject time, and Julie, at this point, we often ask our guests to highlight recent news stories or topics that have caught their attention but that might have been missed by a lot of listeners. And you've drawn our attention to the results of a recent study in Kenya that looked at what happened when thousands of low-income families in a rural part of western Kenya were given a direct cash payment by the authorities to spend completely as they wished. It was to see if this sort of support in the form of basic income would have clear material outcomes. Why were you interested, Julie?
Yeah, well, in addition to my work on the Middle East, I've worked on different humanitarian and conflict research projects in Central Africa. And a lot of the programs that I did were working with NGOs. But one of the main ideas, and this was kind of over the past 5 years, has been to shift the NGO model to one that instead of is running programs or projects, is this direct cash transfer. And it's really become more possible now with our technology moment, because making those kinds of transfers directly to individuals, even through cell phones and stuff, is much easier now. And we've seen in the past the economic benefits, but this piece in particular looked at the health benefits, and I thought that was fascinating.
Well, for more on this study, we spoke to Edward Miguel, a professor of economics at the University of California, Berkeley in the US, who was the co-author of the published findings. How would he describe the aims first?
The idea of handing out cash has been around in government programs for a while, but very often there are conditions for that cash. I think we're all familiar with different forms of social protection or unemployment insurance, etc. What really was new with the NGO Give Directly starting a bit over a decade ago was this idea of handing out cash unconditionally to poor households and trying to do so in a very efficient way. They actually transfer money to people via mobile money, via their phones. So there's very little in the way of staff that's needed to transfer that money. And I think the idea underlining it is, you know, poor households have a lot of needs. Let's give them the resources and let them choose what's most important to them.
How did you measure the impact? You must have had control families without the money.
That's right. So in development economics, those of us that study international development and poverty in recent decades, it's become common to work with NGOs and governments on what are called randomized control trials. In settings like this one, where there are a lot of poor households and the NGO doesn't have enough money to assist all of them, in this case, they randomized which areas and which villages would receive the large cash transfers and which ones would be control villages. And that's what allows us to understand the impacts of cash, comparing those that were randomly chosen to receive the large cash assistance and those that are control.
Were people good at deciding exactly what to spend the money on?
You know, people spent the money on a lot of the things that you would expect. A very large share of the cash transfers in rural Kenya were spent on food, on clothing, on school fees. One of the things that we found in our most recent work is when there's a pregnant woman in the household, they also spend a lot on healthcare related to her pregnancy. So, for instance, we found that in the treatment households, those who receive the large cash grants, pregnant women are almost 50% more likely to deliver their baby in a hospital, and probably as a result of all these changes, the improved nutrition, the improved access to healthcare, there's far lower infant and child mortality among children born in the treatment households. Actually, it falls by about 45 to 48%.
You don't get much more of a concrete result, do you?
It was really stunning for us to find this result. We did the analysis over and over. We ran it many different ways. It's a very strong result, and it's based on a very large sample of data. To carry out this analysis, we actually collected data on the birth histories of women in nearly the entire county of Siaya in Kenya. In total, we collected data on about 100,000 births. And it's that large data set that's going into the analysis and which makes the statistical results very strong.
And it shows how even the poorest parents prioritize their offspring.
Exactly. Poor households in this setting pay for better healthcare. They deliver in hospitals. There's another interesting finding, which is women in the third trimester of pregnancy actually work considerably less if they're in the treatment group that received cash. So in the control group and in general in poor Kenyan households, even in the third trimester, women have to very often work long hours on the farm or in business, but they were able to work fewer hours in that key time where work strain and stress could complicate a pregnancy.
What you've just described is a glowing endorsement of cash transfers to the poor, but governments, NGOs, they're shy of the whole idea still, aren't they?
In many cases, yes. Although the idea is spreading, there are more government programs providing cash transfers. There was recently a program in South Africa that was scaled up to millions of households that I think was inspired by the findings of these studies showing that unconditional cash transfers can really benefit the lives of the poor. We also found in other work in Kenya that not only do cash transfers benefit these households directly, they also stimulate the local economy. The poor households tend to spend the money in local shops, on local food, etc. And so there is a broader spillover benefit, if you like, for local businesses as well.
Edward Miguel, who's a professor of economics at the University of California, Berkeley.